With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northland International University, Dr. Les Olala. We're here wrapping up a series that is designed to help us get a good start to the new year. We are finishing up the year 2009, and we're already thinking about how in the world are we going to establish a great start to 2010. And you used a metaphor to help us with that, and that was the metaphor of the Greek marathon. In fact, we went back and looked at the origins of that marathon, and we saw it came out of the conflict, out of a war, and really we live in a war spiritually, and so the marathon is really a fitting metaphor for that. And you've been unfolding for us seven ideas that are necessary to cultivate that kind of a marathon mindset in our own lives. And we've looked at five of the seven. We saw that we needed to start with a vision of the whole race, and we needed to commit to prepare to the race. And we looked at the sacrifice that would be demanded of us during the race. We talked about needing to have spiritual consistency through wise choices and through even tempered living in all of the race. And then we ended last time by talking about focusing on the goal. We started out by looking at the vision for the race, but really kind of then focusing our attention on the goal. And that brings us then to the sixth thing, and that would be simply, what would that be, Doc?
Determination never to give up, or you have a mindset that I will not give up. And that is not simply a flesh determination. That is a declaration of absolute dependence on God.
Yeah, commitment to endure, in other words.
Where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and read some of these passages of the paradoxes of the Christian life, you think, how did Paul keep on going? You know, what were some of these mentalities? In fact, it would be good for you to flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and just briefly mention some of these things. What were some of the things that Paul went through where he kept that focus on the goal? Because he said, as ministers of Christ, there are certain things that need to be true of us, and we have to keep these things in mind.
He talks about in much patience, the idea in much endurance, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments. Stripes is the idea of beatings. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. These are the things that he endured, and while he endured them, this is what he was like: by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by unfeigned love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. In other words, these are the things now that people are saying about him. As deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. I mean, and this just goes on and on.
Yeah, the paradoxes. When I memorized this passage, I memorized it as pained. The ministry causes you to be pained. And there's the patience in affliction, in necessities, etc. So I took these letters where in patience, affliction, necessity, distresses, stripes, imprisonments. And so I would always keep in mind, okay, when you are serving and you have a determination to keep going, you are going to be pained.
Yeah.
And I took these ideas from that. And it's a mindset that he very clearly emphasized. And Hebrews chapter 12, what did he say? Knowing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And there is that, again, that exhortation to keep on plowing. There are going to be obstacles. There are going to be distractions that come.
It's not if, it's when.
You're right, it's when they're going to come. If you are in battle, if you're not in warfare, you're not going to find, other than general discouragements, but you're not going to find the bombardments that come to the man who is in battle. I remember, and you probably do, most of our listeners, if they have any athletic bent at all, will remember the 2004 Summer Olympics, where the marathon race was run in its original spot. They ran it back in Athens, where this original runner had run this 26.3-mile marathon. And there was a Brazilian runner, Vanderlei de Lima. And most of you listeners who watched any of the Olympics, at least the replay, saw this over and over and over again. Vanderlei de Lima was winning this marathon, 3 miles to go in the race. The crowds were cheering. He knew he had his Olympic gold won. He still had a lot of sprint left in him. And suddenly, this man, crazed man, comes out of the crowd and tackles Vanderlei de Lima right on the track, right on the course. And you remember seeing the replays where the crowd helped pull this man free from Vanderlei. Vanderlei himself was fighting the struggle free from this attacker.
So this guy came right out of the crowd and just nailed him?
Yeah, he ran right out of the crowd and nailed Vanderlei de Lima right on the course.
Mm.
And that was such big news at that time in the 2004 Summer Olympics, and especially following the lead runner. And he got back in the race. Baldini from Italy passed him, and another guy passed him. And so he didn't get gold, he didn't get silver, but he became the most well-known winner of the bronze in probably in Olympic history. In fact, I recently told this illustration, and a man after church came to me. He said, if you pull up Vanderlei de Lima's name, you will see what the International Olympic Committee did for him. They awarded him with an award higher than the Olympic gold for getting blindsided and not quitting.
Wow, for being determined.
For being determined to not quit. It would have been very easy for de Lima to say, well, there goes my gold. I didn't see this coming. There are a lot of things coming this year. You will say, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it going to knock you out of the race, or is your determination to live to the glory of God and to his pleasure, as the Apostle Paul was driven, overcoming these difficulties? And you see that again in 2 Corinthians 11, all of the things Paul suffered. And beside all that, the cares of all the churches were upon him, that he just determined he was not going to stop. What was one of the most famous ever commencement addresses? 9 words. Winston Churchill. Do you remember that illustration?
I remember the illustration. I'm not sure I can remember the 9 words.
He
but one of the 15, words was, don't quit.
Yeah, 15-minute standing ovation for probably a 15-second commencement address. Winston Churchill stood up and says, never, 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 never give up. That was his commencement address. 15-minute standing ovation. But what was he communicating? You don't quit. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. What are we reminded of? We are reminded of that there is reward if we keep on plowing, if we don't stop. And we see the determination not to give up during that time. And then the sixth or the seventh step is realize that the race is worth the effort.
There's a reward.
There's a reward at the end of that race. And you might say, why am I doing this? Paul could have said, why am I going through this? Well, early on, you remember when he was saved on the road to Damascus, what was he shown? He was shown the vision of the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
God showed him the vision of the whole race.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw the vision of that whole race, he had a mindset to commit, and he had a willingness, if necessary, to endure pain where he identified with Christ. Paul grieved because he came short of the suffering of Christ.
Yeah.
He had a daily regimen that kept him faithfully plowing. He had a consistency. He had a focus on the goal, no matter what may have come. And he had a determination never to give up because he realized that the race is worth the effort. And we see that crown he is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he is giving the exhortation that, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize, so run that ye may obtain.
And you have to run to obtain.
Every man that striveth for the mastery, and there has to be that striving. But what Paul was talking about was that Olympic wreath that would wither shortly. He said, they do it for a corruptible crown, we for an incorruptible. And it's not only one winner.
Every
believer can win in this Christian race. And the goal...
Well, in other words, every Christian has to run. This isn't a... We're not saying, hey, think about preparing. You know, if you're not willing to prepare, you're not going to run. Everybody runs. It doesn't matter. I mean, you were just saying, if you're going to run well, then you've got to have these seven things in your mindset.
And everyone can be crowned.
Exactly.
Not everyone will. Everyone can be crowned. And Paul summarizes in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul mentioned there is a resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, he was announcing the victory.
Yes.
He said, if there were none, we would be of all men most miserable. Mm. But Christ is raised from the dead. He becomes the power of our lives. And it's no wonder that Paul's last words before his head rolled in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, what?
Is laid up for me.
Laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, what did he realize? That the race is worth the effort. Not for a corruptible crown, but for an incorruptible crown.
Those are written in terms, you know, if you were reading it the way Paul wrote it in the language of his day, these are finished things.
Yes.
These are things that he did for a long time, and he has finished them, and they are permanently done.
Yeah, and it's a perfect tense, a dot and a continuous line. I have been fighting, I have been finishing, I have been keeping.
This is the way my life has been.
Yeah.
I got married and I'm still married.
I entered warfare and I showed up for battle every day.
Yeah.
What an encouragement that should be to every one of us as believers. It's not are we perfect, it's are we showing up every day for battle.
Right.
Because Paul says, I have not attained either, we're already perfect. But this one thing I do, not these seven things I dabble at, this one thing I do. Forgetting that which is behind, pressing forth unto that which is before,
Amen.
I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling, the upward calling of Christ.
Certainly, looking at cultivating a marathon mindset begins with a vision for the whole race, and certainly preparation is necessary for that, and it's going to demand sacrifice, and we're going to have to be consistent in the times of difficulty, and that's going to come as we focus on the goal, and as we exhibit determination to keep running. And all that comes down to the very thing that you've been talking about, that there is a reward that makes the race worthwhile. And so I hope as you've been hearing these broadcasts that they've encouraged your heart, and we're praying for each of you that you will have a wonderful year of serving the Lord and running the race that He set before you. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.